Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasutim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, text number 16. This chapter is entitled The Passing Away of Bhishmadev. Nahyasya Karichit Rajan. Nahyasya Karichit Rajan. Puman Veda Viditsitam. Puman Veda Viditsitam. Yad Vignasaya Yukta. Yad Vignasaya Yukta. Puhyanti Kavayo Pihi. Puhyanti Kavayo Pihi. Vijigyasaya. Yad Vijigyasaya Yukta. Yad Vijigyasaya Yukta. Nayasya Karichit Rajan. Puman Veda Viditsitam. Yad Vijigyasaya Yukta. Puhyanti Kavayo Pihi. Nahyasya Karichit Rajan. Puman Veda Viditsitam. Yad Vijigyasaya Yukta. Puhyanti Kavayo Pihi. Nahyasya Karichit Rajan. Puman Veda Viditsita. Yavijigyatsaya Yukta. Nahyasya Karichit Rajan. Veda Viditsita. Yavijigyatsaya Yukta. Vaishnavis. Nahyasya Karichit Rajan. Puman Veda Viditsita. Karichit Rajan. Puman Veda Viditsitam. Yad Vijigyasaya Yukta. Puhyanti Kavayo Pihi. Na. Never. He. Certainly. Asya. His. Karichit. Whatsoever. Rajan. O King, Puman, anyone, Veda, knows, Viditsitam, plan, yet, which, Vijignasaya, with exhaustive inquiries, Yukta, being engaged, Puhyanti, bewildered, Kavaya, great philosophers. Upi, even, He certainly. Translation. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Please repeat. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhishthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past misdeeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue, and therefore His own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishma Dev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhishthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kolpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nahyasya karitid rajan bhuman veda viditsitam yad vidhikyasaya yukta huhyanti kaviyopihi. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. In the Gita, Krishna says, Veda ham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani chabhutani mamtu vena nakashchana. Basically, I know everything. I know everyone. But me, no one knows. Even in Vrindavan, when Krishna performed his Brahma Vimohana Lila, we see that Lord Balaram was bewildered. Near the end of the pastime, he can't discern why everyone's acting so strangely in Vrindavan. Even the cows and calves, everyone had developed 10 times more affection for their offspring than before. And strange things were going on. Balaram was wondering, what's happening here? But gradually, Krishna removed the various layers of his yoga maya, and then Balaram could understand. And Srila Prabhupada comments, and the great acharyas, that this is because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can bewilder everyone, including his first expansion, Balaram, but no one can bewilder Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada begins by speaking of the bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthira over his past sinful acts and his suffering. So Bhishma Dev is the authority, and in this great scene, Krishna has arranged for Yudhishthira and the Pandavas and many other great sages to come and see the greatness of a pure devotee, Bhishma Dev. And that is that in the midst of the greatest suffering and all the reversals of the world, the pure devotee knows that one should not name someone as the perpetrator. This comes up in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 16th chapter, when Dharma and Bhumi, and represented by a bull and a cow, are having discussion, and Yudhishthira comes along and wants to know how it is that Dharma is standing only on one leg. He wants to know who has taken off your other three legs, who's harmed you in this way. And Dharma will not name the perpetrator. So it is impossible to say, to name one person. And Parikshit confirms that this is the height of Dharma, because he says, one who names the perpetrator becomes equally implicated in the sinful act as the person who perpetrated in the first place. So this is one of the great principles of devotional service, through which we adjust our attitude in submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First of all, understanding that whatever is happening to us in this world is caused because of my involvement with the modes of material nature. And in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this is also the section of the Brahma Vimohana Lila. Lord Brahma says, Tate anukampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vibhakam ridvagvapurvir viridam namaste jiveta yomukti padesadaya bhak. Is there a fan? Should turn on the fan because the devotees are hot, I can tell. Hot and tired. No one's fallen asleep yet, but I don't want to tempt anybody. And in this verse, which is a very important verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says that the attitude of the devotee is that he or she suffers the reactions that come and keeps the attitude that of being expectant of Lord Krishna's mercy, and all the time suffers these reactions, being fully aware that they're because of my involvement in the material world. I've caused it myself. Te anukampam susamikshamano, on one side, expecting that the Lord will be merciful because the devotee knows that Krishna is all merciful. And then te anukampam susamikshamano bunjane evatma kritam vipakam. He knows I've done it to myself. Whatever trouble I'm in has been caused by me. Then Brahma goes on to say something astounding, and that is, anyone who maintains this attitude throughout life and goes on offering respectful obeisances with body, mind, and words to the topics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that come from the Srimad Bhagavatam, is eligible to go home back to Godhead. In fact, he says, Sadayabhak, that person inherits the kingdom of God. He pointed out to all the devotees. I don't think I'll fall asleep. And in the commentary, Sridhar Swami says that the duty of the son of a rich man is simply to stay alive somehow or other. And why is that? Because if the son of a rich man stays alive long enough, he will inherit the wealth of his father. So in a similar way, he says, the duty of the devotee is simply to stay alive somehow or other in Krishna consciousness. Because if one is able to do that, then despite the fact that there are reversals in one's life, then one will inherit the kingdom of God. He goes on to say, or do the acharyas in this commentary, that when a devotee surrenders to Krishna, he or she becomes free from all karmic reaction. This is mentioned in many scriptures, for instance, in the Padma Purana, Aprarabdha palam papam kutam bijam palon mukam kramenaiva priliyante vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. This verse is quoted by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion to show as proof, amongst many other verses, which we can discuss, but we don't need all of them right now. But the point is that when one takes to the process of devotional service, then one becomes freed from all of the various stages of karma. And that includes prarabdha karma, which means the present body that we now have. What to speak of all the other subtle forms of karma, because one's engaged in devotional service. Also, Brahma Samhita. Yas twindra gopam. Is everyone all right? Yas twindra gopam atavendra mahosa karma bandana rupa palabhajanam atanoti karmani niradahati kintu chapukti bhajam govindamari purusham tamahamajami. Here Brahma confirms that everyone's getting the result of their karma from Indra down to the Indra Gopa germ, except for the devotees. Karmani niradahati kintu chapukti bhajam. Because they're engaged in bhakti, their karma has been destroyed. So then the acharyas say, then, why does it seem like the devotees go on suffering sinful reactions? It seems as if even after one surrenders, there are complications in life. Yes or no? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answers. He says, the reason is that even after surrendering and all of one's karma being eradicated, there may remain a residual effect, some residue, some remembrance of one's previous involvement in the material world, and a tiny bit of affection for that, sense gratification. And every living entity has a particular way in which he or she relishes the taste in the material world. So there may be just a trace of that left. And therefore, Krishna custom makes suffering for the devotees. It's not karma, says our acharyas. It's custom-made suffering, because Krishna knows exactly how each devotee wants to still enjoy the material world, and he gives a kind of suffering to each one so that the devotee will want to finally give up the material world altogether. This is mentioned in all the various shastras, that the Lord personally takes charge of the devotees and administers this kind of suffering in their life. So this is important to remember, that as Prabhupada says in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction, advancement of a devotee in bhakti is dependent on his or her attitude. So the quintessential attitude is that whatever's happening to me was my fault, And whatever suffering is coming to me is Krishna's mercy to help purify me of my last vestiges of desire, last vestige of desire to enjoy the material world. So I have a couple other points to make, but before I do, I want to take some reflections from what we've said so far. And the microphone's ready to go for Rameshwar Prabhu and then Radhisham. Microphone's ready to go. Microphone's ready to go. His question is about devotees that don't have a tinge of remembrance of, and then they're also suffering.
Like Prahlad Maharaj being tortured or Haridas Thakur being whipped. This is inconceivable.
Yes. So this is also mentioned in this purport that the Pandavas, although they were completely pure devotees, were used by the Lord to show that you can't win on the wrong side and that virtue always prevails. Nahi kalyana krit kashchit durgatim tatagachchati. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, don't worry, Tata, because whoever does good is never overcome by evil. So there are various devotees who go through reversals of fortune, and they set an example for the rest of us. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, it's mentioned that Bharat Maharaj, Sobari Muni, and others had fallen down, but they did so as an example for the rest of us how to be careful in the material world. So sometimes devotees are used like that. Yes, Radhisham.
Just a reflection. Is this working?
Yes. Somewhat.
About blame and karmic reactions. So I was just reflecting on a good example of a devotee or a personality from the Srimad Bhagavatam who tolerates...
Can we get a little more volume on that? Possible? We can barely hear it. Go ahead.
Haribo. Who tolerates like reversals. Like Jai Chaitanya and I have been reading 11th Canto. So the Avanti Brahman is a personality who had so much, and when he lost it all, he didn't feel like there was a need to blame. In fact, he felt like it was just his karma and he had to tolerate it, and he had a great mood of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead rather than feeling like, oh, this or that, you know. So I really appreciated that example.
The Avanti Brahmana was a wealthy landholder and he was a miser. He didn't give away his wealth. And he also didn't perform proper yajna. So the demigods began to despise him, and people in general began to despise him. His pious activities shrunk into nothing, and then he lost everything. However, because one time he had performed a yajna, and in that yajna he had some sincerity in his heart for worshiping the Lord, that part remained. And based on that, a tiny fragment of sincerity, he then became determined to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he went off as a sannyasi, wandering here and there. Everywhere he went, people would harass him. They would tie him up, sometimes take away his water pot and his danda. Sometimes they would spit on his food. Sometimes they would urinate on him. They would call him ill names. They would say, just see this saintly person. He has left everything because he's such a loser. And now he sits here meditating just like a duck. And he tolerated all these insults. One of among many things that he said was that if you bite your own tongue with your teeth, who do you blame? Do you scream at your teeth or yourself? Or you simply tolerate and try not to do it again? So he was a person who had to undergo a lot of pain and suffering, but he tolerated it all for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, And his mood, is very good you brought it up, was very much appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the verses that was uttered by this brahmana, etam saastaya paramanishtam adyasitam purvatamar maharshibi aham trishami durantaparam tamo bunkundangrinisheva yaiva. I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of material existence by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This was approved by all the previous acharyas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated his sentiment of determination in the face of so much trouble, that he also would repeat this verse. So did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it's been passed down through our sampradaya. So if one simply tolerates the reversals of life and depends on the Lord and goes on worshipping the Lord despite the fact that one's being barraged with these things, one will attract the attention and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you. Another reflection? Yes.
Hare Krishna. I was just appreciating the comment about Krishna custom makes suffering for us to give up our taste for the material world. And I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada in memories of Shyama Sundar, how he talks about he could never be chastised severely by Prabhupada, but with other disciples, other Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada could chastise them severely because that was what they particularly needed. And so it's nice when you see the representative and Krishna himself becoming so personal with each one of us just for our own salvation and our own betterment, so we can come to the platform of pure devotional service. And it's so encouraging to know that although we're all so different, there's something that Krishna has with us that's completely unique to who we are.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you for bringing it up. Taking every opportunity to refine ourselves by accepting punishment as the reward of the master. This is something that Prabhupada writes in his purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if one accepts punishment as the reward of the master, then he gains the intelligence not to commit the same mistake again. If I take it as an affront when somebody corrects me, including my mentors, my gurus, then I won't advance. But pranipatena means that I'm open for chastisement, ready to be corrected. Hey, there's Bana.
Thank you, Prabhu. I have a question. In the purport here, it's saying, Srila Prabhupada is saying that no one can ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. And then it says later that it is better to... the best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. And then it talks about the sufferings. So I'm assuming here, when it talks about the plan of the Lord, that it's talking maybe specifically about one's own sufferings. Because, for example, in terms of preaching Krishna consciousness, aren't we trying to ascertain the plan of the Lord? And aren't we preaching according to time, place, and circumstance? So don't we have to meditate on what the Lord's plan is?
Thank you, Manabhata Prabhu. I'm glad you brought that up. Krishna makes his plan well known, as you're pointing out. He gives orders, in fact. And in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti madhava sharavanto suyanto muchante te pikarmabhi. That my orders, that means everything that Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita and throughout the authorized scriptures, are eternally true without exception. And one who follows this, Krishna says, and doesn't envy the principle that there's a higher authority, that there are axiomatic truths and they're coming from a supreme authority, that person becomes free from the reactions to the material world. Muchante te pikarmabhi. He becomes liberated. just by following. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that there are great scholars who speculate on the words of Krishna and screw some wrong meaning out of them. Said they'll never become liberated because they're not simple. They're trying to supersede what Krishna has said. Whereas a simple person, even if that person is not able to follow properly yet the instructions of the Lord, but doesn't resent the principle and goes on practicing devotional service, that person will become liberated and perfect. So Krishna gives instructions in various places. Some of them are very direct. For instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu orders everyone to become a guru and to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, Prabhupada writes in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in his purports for the Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, that's the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it is by this potency that one comes to see the Lord face to face. So some of these are open orders given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, in the Gita, Krishna also says, Sarva dharman parityaja, mame kam sharanam braja, antong sarva papi bhyo moksha ishami masuja. Just surrender unto me and I'll deliver you. So who can take that order up? Who's eligible to take that? Any guess? Bana? Anybody. Anybody can take it. It doesn't matter. You could be a squirrel if you hear it and say, I'm going to follow this. Then immediately you'll be liberated. And Prabhupada gives, in a conversation with one gentleman who was proposing that one would have to develop pious credits in order to come to the point of surrendering to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, you can surrender at any time. And he said, if you're a poor man and a rich man comes to you with a bag of money and offers it to you as a free gift, says you take, then you have the choice, take or don't take. So Krishna also is the wealthiest person anywhere, and he's offering this. If you surrender to me, I'll take care of all your affairs. So you can surrender or not surrender. It's up to you. So the orders are open for everybody to take. And if one, Krishna says in the verse I quoted, "Ye me matam idam nityam," embraces the order and holds on to it, even if he or she is not capable of fully following it, that person becomes liberated by that process. So the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is inextricable. We can't understand, inexplicable. We can't understand exactly what's in the mind of the Lord. However, we can take his orders and follow them despite whatever else comes. There's a confidence in the heart of the devotee that because Krishna's given this order, that he'll protect me in all circumstances. In fact, Jiva Goswami mentions in regard to Sarva Dharman Parityaja, he said, this is the life and soul of every Vaishnav, this verse. Because they take it in their heart and they say, Krishna has uttered this personally, and therefore, if I surrender to Krishna in every way that I can, by following the sixfold path of surrender, then Krishna will take care of me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, invokes the words of Lord Ram when he says that if somebody even one time says, I surrender to you, then from that day forward and eternally from then on, I become that person's protector. So Krishna takes it very seriously if you follow his orders, even though you can't understand what his plan is exactly. And if you try to figure out his plan when there are reversals, then you enter more and more deeply within the realms of anxiety. Better to be simple and simply take it on the chin. So in the story of, I know there's a couple more reflections, but before I lose this train of thought and come back to you, I want to mention that Prithu Maharaj had performed 99 horse sacrifices. There was only one other person who had done more, and that is King Indra. And when Indra found out that Prithu Maharaj was about to perform the 100th, he became extremely envious and agitated. So he came to the assembly where Prithu Maharaj was performing the yajna And he dressed up as a sannyasi. And so no one assailed him when he took away the horse, except for Prithu's son chased after him and then saw he was a sannyasi, so he abandoned him. So no one will touch a sannyasi. Then they brought another horse. And Indra did it again. He put on a different sannyasi dress. And then he did it a third time. And after that, Prithu wanted to kill him. And he was stringing his bow. At that time, all the priests present said, "You can't kill him. This, you're performing a yajna. That's not called for." He said, "We'll kill him." So they were about to perform an oblation, offer an oblation, after which Indra would be sucked from the kingdom of heaven into the fire and killed, annihilated. And just at that moment, Brahma appeared and said, "Hold it. Yeah, Indra's the king of heaven. He's Krishna's devotee. You can't kill him." And then he personally counseled Prithu. And in his counseling, he said that even very religious people have reversals of fortune in their life. Said, "This is the way of the world. And if you try to rectify those reversals, then you'll enter more and more deeply in the darkness of anxiety. So don't try to rectify it." And he advised him to compromise. So we can not understand exactly why things are happening to us and where they came from. They may have come from, for devotees, they interpret it, it's Krishna's arrangement to purify me in some way, put me in another direction. One day when I was gardening in my backyard, I saw a little bird fly into my house. And birds do not belong in houses. Not wild ones anyway. So I went into the kitchen to free him. And I pulled up the double pane window. It was an old house. And it made a rattling noise as I lifted it up. So the bird looked at me, "You're trying to kill me." And he went to the next room. There I opened all the windows. He said, "You're after me." He went to the next room, and the next room, and the next room. Finally, not that I have that many rooms, but he finally came all the way back. I coaxed him back all the way to the kitchen. And before he noticed the open window and flew out, he looked at me with terror in his eyes. And there was some communion between us. And he was, "I escaped your reign of terror. You tried to murder me. But now I'm getting away." And he flew out the window. And I sat down, and what I felt was a profound moment of reflection. And I thought, I'm that bird. Krishna is opening windows for me, and all I hear is the clamor of change in my life. Why are you changing this? I want to stay in my little safe haven, I think. But he's opening, making opportunities, say, "Go free." But I interpret it, "You're trying to kill me." I can't see that actually he's the kindest friend and he's trying to free me from the bondage of material life. And again, I go against his order. So Krishna consciousness is so simple. It means just find out who Krishna is. And when you know who he is, then give your whole heart to him in whatever way he wants to use you. Let him use you. And then this is the essence of Krishna consciousness. We have three. 1, 2, 3. Can you hand the microphone to this gentleman, and then we're coming back to Rameshwar and then Archie Tipperbu.
Is this working now? Okay. It just fell apart. Can one infer from this then that the goal of the devotee is not liberation? Did you understand my question?
I understand. Oh, okay. You have a question?
It was a question, yes.
Yeah, the goal of the devotee is not liberation. Liberation comes as a natural result of the devotee surrendering. But it's mentioned in different contexts. Rameshwar Prabhu had a point, and then Archita. The goal of the devotee is mentioned by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is simply to go on serving the Lord selflessly, life after life.
I want to thank you for sharing that amazing analogy. Is it a simile or an analogy? That realization you had about the open windows. That's not why I raised my hand, but I'm just stunned by that. realization you had. It's wonderful for all of us to reflect on.
Thank you.
Before you gave that, and I was so amazed, I was thinking of how we can try to grasp that Krishna's plans are inconceivable. And I started to remember some examples of Srila Prabhupada revealing that quality or aspect of the Lord's inconceivableness. So I just wanted to share one or two of those tiny little stories. One time I was with Prabhupada and we were on a train and we were going past many villages. And so Srila Prabhupada said, just see, there's so much illiteracy all over India. There's so much illiteracy in these villages. And I would never have thought that, well, that's a plan of Krishna's. That's an inconceivable plan of Krishna's. I just started thinking of all the mundane reasons why there's illiteracy. So then Prabhupada said, this is Krishna's plan. Well, how is it? To spare them from hearing the bogus, rascal Darwinism and atheism of the modern scientists. Krishna's inconceivable plan to have so many people in India who were so pious, part of Vedic culture is their heritage, how to free them from this propaganda of atheism. Who could have thought that? So Krishna's plans are inconceivable. And I have a lot of examples. I'll give one more. One time I was talking to Srila Prabhupada about the future of our movement, the Hare Krishna movement over the 10,000 years, golden era. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that during this time, once at some point, again, there will be one world government, a Krishna-conscious government? And he said, oh, yes. And then he started explaining how that would happen. It was quite inconceivable. And then I said, so does that mean, Srila Prabhupada, that like everything in Vedic culture that we've read about is going to reappear? He said, oh, yes. And then I started using some silly, mundane examples. And the first one that came to mind is Vimanas. There were airplanes powered by mantras and the powers of the mind. And I said, but Prabhupada, those things are lost. He said, no, they're not lost. They will be revived. I mean, to me, this was so inconceivable that Prabhupada could see that was coming. I couldn't get even a glimpse that was coming. But then again, he did say, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary.
What did he say?
Everything is everything is possible. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vaisheshika Prabhu, for your wonderful presentation. Yesterday I was listening to a lecture in 74, actually a room conversation, where Prabhupada asked this question, why do you want to please Krishna? So all the devotees present were coming up with so many statements and ideas, and Prabhupada kept saying, no, why do you want to please Krishna? Finally, one devotee gave the analogy of the senses and the stomach, that the senses have to work to satisfy the stomach, otherwise they'll die. Prabhupada said, yes, it's not negotiable. You must satisfy Krishna, otherwise you'll die. Krishna's like the stomach, and you are like the senses. You have to satisfy the stomach, otherwise you'll lose vitality and you'll die. So it's not negotiable. You must please Krishna for your own self-interest.
Very nice. This is our self-interest is to give ourselves to Krishna, but I've somehow lost my sense of my real self-interest. Payam dvitiya binibesha tasyad ishad apetasya viparya yosmiti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this verse from the Bhagavatam to Sanatana Goswami and said that actually we're completely happy and well-aligned as servants of Krishna. But then viparya yosmiti, I become a competitor of Krishna and therefore I'm full of fear and I see problems in my life. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Krishna Das e Bishwas Korle to Arduko Nai. if you realign yourself as a servant, then you'll have no more misery. Because this is actually your happy position in life. Happiness comes through proper alignment. Yes. And thank you, Rameshwar Prabhu, for those precious memories of Srila Prabhupada. Just that there has to be vision to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. The pure devotee has such vision to see these things everywhere and then to bring them to our attention. Otherwise, how would we know? Srila Prabhupada once said, if they do all the things that I was thinking, then they might have to arrest me.
Thank you for a nice class. Upon surrendering, when the devotee receives the personalized, carved-out path for purification, oftentimes they may undergo some criticism from other devotees or experience some deep separation. So I just was wondering if that was a reflection. I was wondering if you could comment on that.
They receive criticism, why?
From other devotees.
Why?
Or are separated because it appears as though their activities are unfavorable.
I see.
They get caught in some unfavorable activities.
Well, one thing is it's a long life. And we all go through various phases in our life during which we face different kinds of challenges. And from my personal observation of devotees who have continued the process of chanting Hare Krishna despite whatever else has happened to them in their life, they become mature. And sometimes those who have had such experiences become even more mature because of them. Because, as Prabhupada says in the light of the Bhagavat, failure is the pillar of success. And missteps may not be detrimental, but they may become the source of strength for the devotee later on. The main admonition is that you don't give up the process despite whatever happens to you. And even if you find yourself outside and being criticized by others because of your lack of participation, because of inability to do something at a particular time, and you continue at your level best, then Krishna will not only rectify the situation, but he'll give you more and more facility. He wants to award everyone with service, but he also wants to prepare the devotees so that they'll be able to take full advantage of it as much as possible. So devotees never, even if they fall away from Krishna consciousness because of immaturity, first of all, they never lose their progress. And they also never forget Krishna. And even if they do for some time, they'll remember him later. This is proved in the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narada Muni says, Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana pakvota patetato yati yatra kva bhavabhjam abhudam musya kim kovarta apto bhajatam sadharmata. That somebody who gave up their success track in the material world to take to Krishna consciousness, and then they failed in Krishna consciousness apparently because they were apakva, they were immature. He says, don't worry about it. Better that they jumped for the bar and they missed it. The forward progress gets measured. That you went for it and you tried. He said, but what good does it do if you made it on your success track in the material world? It'll all be demolished anyway. You didn't really get anywhere. So that impetus to try, even though you fail, this is something that devotees should keep in mind. And those who are devotees should also appreciate that somebody tried, even if they didn't make it. Similarly, Narada says, Navajano jato katanchana vrajan mukunda sevan yavaranir samstritim smaran mukundang rupaguhanam punar vihatami chenna rasagrahojana. And that is that if somebody takes to Krishna consciousness and then somehow or other falls away from the process, that person can't forget the sweetness of the process of devotional service. He remembers it again and again. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments that that person is haunted by rasa. They remember the sweetness of Krishna's lotus feet and the process of devotional service. And by the contrast, what they see in the material world, they'll eventually come back to that and take shelter. So we have to be tolerant not only of our own inabilities, but we should cultivate that sincerity to keep trying, and we should also tolerate the insufficiencies, apparent insufficiencies of others, and keep encouraging them despite the fact that we may not think that they're on the level they should be. This has been a memorable weekend, hasn't it? We performed a yajna all together, and that's the most pleasing to Krishna. Everybody cooperated in their own way to put on this yajna. It takes a long time to set up a yajna. Sometimes months, takes a year to set up such a yajna, with collections and so forth. It takes a long time to break it down. Devotees were up all night doing that. It's very hard work. They're going to be doing it for another couple weeks, taking down. The yajna itself goes off in a few hours. It's just like cooking. It takes a long time to grow the food or shop for it, prepare it. It takes a long time to clean up everything, put everything away. But to eat, it's just a few minutes. So is it worth it? Yes. Because in the middle, that kernel, that essence of when we actually, when the yajna actually goes off, like we were going down the street and the chanting was going on and the books were going out and people were taking in Krishna consciousness, makes everything worth it. So we live for this yajna. And a congratulations to everybody in the community. Everyone who agrees with this, please say Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpadurvishya kripasindabhevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah anantakodi vaishnavindi ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Gaurabhaktivrinda ki jai Nudorkadam ki jai Shishi Rukmini Dorkadish ki jai Shishi Rukmini Dorkanath ki jai Shishi Gornitai ki jai Jagannath Baladev Subhajaji ki jai Rameshwar Prabhu ki jai Gaurapremanande Nitai Gaura Haribol, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribol, Nitai Gaura Haribol, Nitai Gaura Haribol, Go Premanande.